Tom, we're absolutely massive now. We've won what, 3 games on the spin for the first time since, what was the stat?
I believe from my research that it was March when we beat Leeds, Leicester, with Dortmund sandwich in the middle. That was the sort of the peak of Graham Potter's otherwise quite terrible tenure at Chelsea. So that's the stat. And yeah, again, I mean, it's Fulham, Burnley, and to be fair, Brighton's a decent win, but it's not like massive wins, but in the context of things, it is. And we're back.
Oh yeah,
we're so back.
It gives you that elevated confidence now going into that run after international break.
It's quite nice. I was walking down, you know, Wembley Way, nice sunny morning. A few people coming. I think there might be an NFL game here later today, so it's starting to get a little bit busy.
They're heading to Tottenham Hotspur.
Spurs, are there a lot here?
I think a lot of people made the mistake
of thinking it's here.
Over the past 2 weeks, because there was people that travelled in from Spurs thinking it was a Spurs, and we were trying to be smart, but then it was here. And then this week, there's people staying here because they think it's here, but it's actually a Spurs. But who wants to stay in Tottenham Hotspur? I'll be brutally honest with you.
True, but that's pretty basic research to look up where the game you're going to see is. But anyway, that's irrelevant. It was just, I walked down here, felt good. Sunny morning, like, you know, felt pretty fresh. And Chelsea have won again. And this time, and I said it, it's been coming. We put a few goals, albeit past a pretty average Burnley team.
Let's call it 2-1. I know the penalty is obviously great, but the own goal is kind of like, you know, it's an own goal. I'd be like, take it and leave it situation.
Yeah. That's fair enough in terms of that, but at the same time, we also created other chances we could have scored, and the penalty and the own goal came from just Sterling being very direct.
Yeah,
he couldn't deal with it. So I don't know. I don't think we can call it 2-1. And I realistically, as well, their goal kind of came from nothing. I don't know if there's really much we can do about it. I've looked at it a few times. Maybe Kukure closing down. I don't know, but
I did think with their goal, we'll get on to that. But anyway, guys, welcome to the Chelsea Echo. It's just me and Tom today. Tobes is, I don't know where Tobes is.
He's busy. He's busy with his working life on the weekend.
He's got that. So he sent us a voice note, which we'll sandwich in at some point, or his thoughts on the game. Chelsea have won yet again. We seem to be in a bit of a rhythm.
Mm.
It's nice to see. Cole Palmer's off the mark and actually looked competent as a penalty taker, which was very nice to see from a Chelsea penalty spot. I'm trying to think. Even when Edin stepped up, I was always a little bit nervous. But I think you know, last proper competent penalty taker we had was a certain Mr. Frank Lampard. So that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a win, and that's all that matters. So not a bad start, and not a bad way to go into the international break. Very impressive win at Turf Moor, and as Tom said, it's the first time we went 3 in a row in all competitions since March 2023. That's Leeds, Leicester, and Dortmund sandwiched in between. That is the first time in a year we've won back-to-back Premier League games.
Well, that was.
Or was that one?
That was back-to-back.
Oh, that's back-to-back.
Leicester
and
Leeds.
That's through and about. Like
there was a stat about last October, but I can't remember what it was, and it's got confusing now with this.
Yeah, but that's the one that matters. That's a huge confidence boost now.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And especially at the end of the international break. Bearing in mind, you've still got Badia Shill, Reece James, December and Kunku scheduled to be back.
Chukwuemeka back in as well.
Chukwuemeka's back. He was in the squad yesterday. He was knocking about, wasn't he?
He's going to struggle to find a way back into the team, to be honest. But he was playing really well. Well, he played really well against West Ham before he did, didn't he?
Yeah.
So there's a player in there, I think, which is fun. I just like vibes at the moment. We've just got a really nice, vibey young squad where obviously not all of them are going to make it, but at the moment, like, there's talent and you can see it.
You can tell they're quite young when Romeo Lavia congratulated Cole Palmer via Snapchat. That was looking at that going, oh Christ,
different generation, isn't it?
I was saying this, like, I was speaking to my little brother, so he's 13 and they're all over Snapchat, and
mine are like that.
Why
I haven't used Snapchat probably for about 10 years,
but I've not used Snapchat for years. I only use it right when you do, you know, when you do those cutouts of people's heads and stuff.
Oh, what, and go and do it yourself?
Yeah, I just do it there. But then that's the only reason I use it. But then apart from that, like, genuinely, it's the point where I don't use it at all, that I start with a notification cup. It's a notification of someone's posted a story. You get like 10 notifications, but it's just all stories.
Mm.
oh, this happened on this year in 2016. And I was like, don't want to look back at that, to be honest, because that's probably going to be something horrendous. But yeah, I mean, look, it was a big, big result. But we'll have to have a little look. I tell you what, before we get into our thoughts, should we have a little listen to what Tobes has to say?
Yeah.
We have won 3 games in a row. We have scored 6 in 2. We scored 4 away from home yesterday. We turned a game on its head for the first time in over a year. The last time was against Palace when Gallagher popped up towards the end. This time we did it in dramatic fashion. I was very happy. First half, not quite as happy. It was a bit of a sluggish start. But in a way, even when they scored, I thought this will be a test. Can we turn the game on its head? We've gone one up to Brighton, we've gone one up to Fulham, and then we've gone on to win the game. Their tails are naturally up when we get the first goal. Can you pick yourselves up? Can you pluck a performance out your ass when things are going against you? And we did. We did. I wasn't overly happy with the goal that we conceded. I thought Thiago and Cucurella could have done better. Thiago could have just fouled him, given away a free kick, or Cucurella looked like a left back playing at right back in that instance. But I thought he grew into the game, and as did a number of them. I thought Sterling was kind of our only real proper shining light in that first half, and that continued long into the second. He fought to get that own goal. Yes, it is an own goal. It was a bit fluky in that sense, but it was by driving at his fullback and beating him and forcing that cross that forced the issue. He had a shot just before that went whiskers past the post. And second half, we came out flying out of the traps. Sterling goes and does the exact same thing, wins a penalty in this instance. Cole Palmer getting his first goal. We love to see it. I love to see the celebrations. There's some nice crowd footage actually from the away end of Palmer, you know, kind of giving it beans a bit, patting the badge. Stuff you like to see, basically. And the players look gassed. And we performed as such afterwards. I thought Sanchez made a decent save from the edge of the box. Caicedo, he wins that ball so much, this boy. He wins that ball so much. He was awesome, I thought. There was a number of switches he played that were great. Just breaking up play, reading play, just excellent. That midfield, really. We're seeing team synergy build and we're seeing chemistry build. And as we've said, even when things weren't going so well, we maintained, it will get better. And, you know, we will have steps back. We've got some tough fixtures coming up. So you're not going to win all of those. That's just natural. But we're seeing this team begin to flourish a bit. We're seeing this pressing from the training ground begin to flourish because we are nicking the ball up the pitch so much more frequently than I've seen a Chelsea side do in a long time. I mean, last year, press was non-existent. Running was barely existent. But we've seen it against Brighton, we saw it against Fulham, and then yesterday, another goal that typifies the hard work that's paying off on the training ground. Caicedo winning the ball in their half, playing it to Gallagher. Gallagher playing Sterling through. Sterling just high on confidence, absolutely buries it with his weaker foot. How many finishes like that have we even seen over the last few years? So not only did we go 3-1 up, we then made it 4. And Jackson, who came on, Brozier struggled a bit, I thought, first half. And Poch, that took some minerals. It took some bollocks to go, do you know what? No, I'm not going to say, we'll give him 15, 20 minutes. We'll see if we can grow into the game. He went, no, fuck it. I'm changing it. Put Jackson on. And we said prior to the game, we had a nice issue. We didn't know which striker we'd go with. We were like, okay, let's probably stay the same as Fulham. The only reason Poch didn't was apparently because of Mudryk's little strain, despite being on the bench. That's why he put Sterling in. But that worked out very well with Sterling getting out of the match. However, we went with Nico Jackson in the second half, who's also looked very good against Brighton, and it paid dividends. The guy he did a roulette in the middle of the pitch to then win us a free kick when there was about 4 Burnley players surrounding him. He did one sort of back heel to Enzo, who had a shot that was sadly straight at the keeper. As we've said before, Enzo, that screamer is coming, but come on, get your shooting boots on. And then the goal, Sterling bursting away from his defender after a lovely pass from Colwill, and playing it across the box to Palmer, who was just sort of gaining confidence. I thought first half was a bit more quiet, but then that penalty really woke him up and he just slotted it to Jackson, who, with a ridiculous bit of footwork, I don't even quite know what he did, and I've seen the replays countless times already, but he sticks one Burnley defender on his arse and then he sticks the Burnley keeper on his arse by wrong-footing him in the bottom right, and it was just lovely scenes. Chelsea at Burnley away, it tends to work out well. I believe that's 8 wins in 9 for us there. So we move. We move up. 3 wins in a row. We're going into an international break actually thinking, oh, that's a shame. I'm enjoying watching us at the moment, which is a rare thing or a non-existent thing for a good year or so now. So that's lovely. And it sets us up nicely for this tough run of games. We've built a bit of momentum up here. We're getting players back. We know that Reece has been training. Chukwuemeka was back on the bench yesterday. That was lovely to see. So hopefully we can add a couple more names in there by the time we're rocking up to Arsenal. And yeah. Oh, another shout I want to give is to Zassi. This guy is really growing on me. Really, 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 really growing on me. He was actually my favourite performance defensively yesterday. There's a few bits where he was under pressure and he just so press resistant. He just looked calm, cool. There were some celebrations he was doing after Cole Palmer's goal. I was like, you're giving me Rudy vibes, man. Bit of fight, a bit of a character. I like that. So yeah, very happy boy. Good weekend. We didn't really get many spoilers. I don't think I went 3-1 in our game, but I don't really fucking care because Chelsea won 4-1 away from home. How can I complain?
Couldn't end it any better, to be pretty honest with you.
Mm.
4-1 went away from home. De Zassi was an interesting one. He did look good. I thought in terms of the defensive issue, I do want to highlight the issues before we go into the positives, you know.
I like that.
Start bad, well, there aren't many. Go strong.
There aren't many either. So
he wasn't wrong about Cucurella. I think the fact that Cucurella, in the goal, you can see that he was a left back playing right back. He doesn't know how to use the right hand side of his body, and that issue was what I was seeing. Even though he played well in the other games, in the Fulham game and the Brighton game, you could see that happen a few times, and that is something which is a little bit of an issue. But having said that, he's probably not going to be playing there again this year. He might not even be playing, if we're going to be brutally honest.
No.
I think Levi Colwill might have nailed down that left-hand side, which is a huge thing. It's very interesting because he looks so comfortable on the ball. He's got a great... Eventually moving to centre-half. I did think... playing the high line for the goal with Thiago Silva, that is just a little bit suicidal.
Yeah.
You could tell he got caught out massively there. But recovered well, but just unfortunately just wasn't enough just to get into the positions he needed to. Lyle Foss obviously created the goal as well, the guy that Liam said that we should watch out for. He did look quick. He looked good.
There you go.
Credit to him. I do like the fact that Burnley are coming to play football now. It's a bit odd.
Yeah. It's not really working.
Not as old as a suit and, you know, hat combo.
Yeah, that was strange. What was he doing there?
I don't know why Vince's company does that. But is it just to hide the fact he has a massive head, but everyone knows it?
It's like, kind of like, oh, today I'm going to be casual. Actually, no, maybe I'll be a bit... Oh, no, maybe I'll just put a hat on as well.
That's the career mode manager.
Yeah, yeah. Literally, is one of the career modes that most people choose, just the guy that has a hat on. Just the most generic looking bloke. Obviously, company's quite unique with his sort of...
Mega mind head.
Yeah, a little bit of mega mind head. But even then, it's not long, it's just, I don't know, it's wide. But anyway.
Cranial logisticus.
Ooh, yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Science, we do that here as well, by the way, if you need any medical.
Try to.
Yeah.
I did awful at GCSE.
I did all right, but I've never done it since.
No, it's pointless, I don't give a fuck. Actually, that's not just I cook, so I do use science.
Well, we definitely use science all the time without thinking about it. But
yeah, I do the eye test for science.
Yeah.
You could shove your fucking beakers up your ass, mate. Have that.
Anyway, from beacons, or beakers, I should say.
Beakers and Bunsen burners.
Bunsen burners. Nice little learners. They're always fun.
So I tell you what, I had a nice little learner yesterday. Speaking of nice little learners, Raheem Sterling.
Oh, yeah. Raheem the Dream.
I thought he was absolutely superb yesterday.
I'm going to take credit for it.
Why are you going to take credit for it?
I took him out of fantasy team.
Right. How did you do in fantasy, actually?
Fine. I wildcarded.
Yeah.
So my team's pretty well set up now, but I captained Son, which 15 minutes into the game, I thought he was going to cook and score like a hat-trick, and then it slowed down a bit, and then the red card just, that was it, he was done. But
I mean, I've forgot to take Alvarez out, so I've still got...
It's fine.
Yeah, but it was Alvarez for Jackson was going to be my switch.
Really? Even though Jackson wasn't guaranteed?
Well, in hindsight, I'm talking about really, like the fact he went on and scored.
You can't be hindsight FPL. That's horrible. That's a horrible place to be.
Oh yeah, no, it is. That's the first time this season, and we're into the second international break. So you know what?
That's good.
You know, I'm back cooking. I'm back to my 15-16 form. In the 15-16 season, you know, I was top 100 at one point.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Where did you finish overall?
I don't remember. It's 15. All I remember is that week where I was top 100 that week.
It was 13k last year. Quite happy with that.
That's not bad. Top 13,000 players in the world for FPL. I wonder where Tobes finish. I like Gary. Gary is very old school now. He does his, I've noticed.
He refuses to put any players from
no
the big
Spurs,
six in.
No Arsenal, no so United.
No players from the big six in. Always has three Chelsea.
Yeah.
Like proper. I feel like you have to be very picky. Not picky, sorry, in FPL, and you can't have any sort of team bias.
No, you're in it to win it.
Yeah.
And with this, the fact we've not done a... We haven't done a sweepstake for the Chelsea Echo this year.
No.
But, you know...
We've got a fantasy,
that.
But we haven't got a thing. Anyway. So, yeah, I'm taking credit for Sterling's form. I mean, yes, he played very... He's played well generally throughout the season, but in terms of his actual output now, that is obviously... You know what? Two goals and an assist against Luton, and then today or yesterday he got what a goal and two assists. Well,
yeah, which technically he just needs to build on it now. That's the thing. Like, we're talking about that Luton game was a long time ago.
But also my point on that is that's great, but it's also against two newly promoted teams.
Mm.
You know, we need more consistent, as you said, output. But yeah, he's got a bit unlucky. Like obviously hit the post against Bournemouth with that free kick, and you know, there's been a few not balls played in which haven't been quite finished off, but. I think, yeah, it's an interesting one because obviously, had Mudryk been fit, I don't actually know if he would have started, which is, you know, and now you're kind of thinking, well, you can't drop Sterling after that, but Mudryk started to look quite good. You know, is Sterling going to play on the right? But then what happens to Cole Palmer? It's all a bit like, you know...
Well, I mean, I guess that would be the case. Cole Palmer would move into the 10, but then if you did that...
Then you had to drop Gallagher, who's playing well.
Gallagher's been, like, it was the little things we've been saying since the beginning where we're going, do you know what? He hasn't quite got that final pass, and he's not got that thought process at the top end of the pitch, and the past 3 games he's proved us wrong.
Yeah,
in every single situation of those.
He actually complements Enzo and Caicedo very well.
Yeah,
because he has like the energy, and he's slightly more offensive mind in terms of kind of goal scoring than those two. You know, Enzo's obviously got the flair, the passes, this kind of outside the boot stuff. Caicedo just loves tackling and passing. Perfect, exactly what we need. And then Gallagher's a little bit more advanced. He's not, I don't think long term he's a number 10. He's an 8, really.
Yeah.
An energetic 8. But at the moment it's working, albeit against Fulham and Burnley. But still, you can't really drop him at the moment. So that Arsenal game is going to be very interesting. You know what? Obviously, there'll probably be a couple of injuries from the IB, but we'll see.
I mean, I think I could see Gallagher maybe being dropped for that game. But then at the same time, I think I don't know if people. This is the thing, you know, you look at Chelsea Twitter or you're going to Chelsea Twitter spaces. And Conor Gallagher very much was a scapegoat for the past 3-4 months. You know, it's like we do it. You know, we're saying he's a Labrador, but
well, I mean, he is.
But it's not a bad thing.
No,
I know we're not saying it's not. But so you're going to like, he's just Labrador. He's just energy. He's just this. He's just that. Yeah, he is the embodiment of what that team should be. And you know, when Frank Lampard was talking about it, he said, look, the reason that you continue to play Conor Gallagher, you have him around the squad, is he pushes people to other levels. He makes people play better. He has the understanding of the club, and you need to have those sort of players around. He's almost what I feel like Curtis Jones is for Liverpool. They keep him around. He's not going to start. He's not someone they're going to look at as the first name on the team sheet. He's not someone who's going to be, you know, one of the best players in the world. But I tell you what, he's someone who understands what it means to do certain things and appreciates the culture and understand the level of work and etiquette you need to put in. And that's what Conor Gallagher is for us. Like I said, long term he's probably going to be displaced in the side, but he's always going to be someone where if he's on the bench you're going to be like, okay, cool, 60 minute mark, right, on you go, Connor, go and sort of just do what you do best, which is just win the ball high up the pitch. A perfect embodiment of a Mauricio Pochettino player. You know, like Tobes was saying, nicking the ball higher up the pitch. Who was doing that? Connor Gallagher a lot of the time.
He's leading the charge. I think he's quite a useful player on the bench as well, because he can kind of do it all, as in if we're winning he can come on and just energy, like tired teams, both in, you know, defences and also attacks. And he's just, you're like, oh, for God's sake, not this guy. He just runs around like that little kid who's just always got energy at school. Yeah. Like, you've just played a game and he's like ready. Like,
he is. I think he's like to Chelsea's answer to the cracker kid.
Yeah,
you know,
pretty
the one
much.
Who had the ball thrown at his head all the time. Yeah! All the time.
He's like
kind
that. But yeah, and so, you know, you can bring him on when you're winning. You can bring him on when you're losing if you need to kind of up the ante in terms of energy and saying, you know, if, you know, whatever scenario. And let's not forget as well, his Crystal Palace form. Like when he gets into it, when he gets a role, when he gets kind of, you know, given the opportunity, which I don't think he really had until now for Chelsea, really, to kind of do what he does best. You know, he scored a lot of goals at Palace, some good goals, and he was very important to them. And he's definitely got that as an extra part of his game that we'll eventually start to see, I think, if he keeps playing. But yeah, as we've said the past few episodes, you know, it's nice to have these good problems of actually, hang on, I don't see a straightforward 11. There are two or three players that I'd put in there, but they're not going to fit. So we've actually got a few players that are going to be genuinely a bit unlucky to miss out, which is obviously with the money we've spent, we should have that and more. But just since, you know, the past kind of year, 18 months almost, it's been a bit, you'd see the 11, you're just like, oh, I mean, there's like four or five players in there that I don't really want to be there.
Yeah.
And now it's actually a team that we're starting to get behind and they're starting to gel. You can see like Enzo and Caicedo, I think, actually really like each other off the pitch. Enzo seems to be like proper passionate about it, you know, going and getting really into
it. It's that Latin fire.
Yeah, but even like, you know, I know it's obviously the Premier League, but you know, some kid who's won the World Cup coming into Turf Moor and like when it gets to 4-1, he could easily just be like, yep, great. But like there's proper come on, like with the fans and stuff. And I really, it's what, you know, whether it, I don't think it is for show. Like a lot of Declan Rice's stuff is definitely for show. I think his stuff is genuine, like he cares, he wants to be here. That whole rumour that came around like a month ago about, oh, if we don't pick our form up soon, he wants to leave. Like, I'm not sure if that was true, to be honest.
Well, regardless, I think you can look back at that and be like, you know what, I don't blame him. But
no,
the fact is that like now we are picking up form, we are looking better, we are looking stronger.
There's, yeah.
And yeah, and he's been huge for that. Credit to him. Fantastic to see him doing so well. Along with the rest of the side. You know, Caicedo, as like you said, you know, the fact he's not been spoken about over the past few games is a very, yeah, it's a very good thing. A good defensive midfielder is not someone who's looked at and like talked about constantly.
Well, and also a good defensive midfielder in a good team, because obviously when we had Kante, sometimes he made a lot of like massive kind of last ditch tackles or these big moments, but that's because the rest of the team defensively were not great at the time.
Yeah.
So he was having to do a lot of the stuff, which then obviously is quite eye-catching. You talk about him, whereas at the moment, with what I'd say a pretty set defence, maybe Thiago Silva's kind of showing signs that he actually might run. We'll see Bally Shield, we'll be back soon, so we'll see what happens there. But pretty good defence, I think, on the whole, with quite a few players missing as well. And obviously, you know, Enzo pulls his weight, Gallagher pulls his weight in terms of that. But he's not having to kind of do too much, which means he can do everything very well, if that makes sense. He's not kind of overdoing it because the rest of the team are not quite there.
Whereas the first couple of games, he wasn't quite match fit, and he, but he also
and he was trying a bit
was
too hard.
Overdoing it because he wanted to impress.
Cause, which is, you know, with that price tag, and he's still what 21 or something, so 20, I can understand it. Like, but him and Enzo, as I thought when we signed him, I say that is after that whole saga. I was like, that genuinely, all being well, could be our midfield for the next decade.
Mm.
And right now, if it is, we're in for an absolute treat. And you know, the whole signing kids thing. As I said at the time, and I've said recently, I know obviously like currently might not be perfect, but you know, when you look at the squad and you think there's still Nkunku to come back, there's still people like Badiashile, there's a Chukwuemeka kind of as well, a few other players, obviously Reece James, Chilwell eventually maybe if he even comes to play back into it. Like there's a lot of players here like, oh wow, like it can get even better. And obviously they're gonna keep gelling. And I think that win actually against Burnley was very important, just because we're going into tough run of games now against teams that are more settled in terms of where they are.
Yeah.
Arsenal, Newcastle. You know, these teams are kind of, obviously they're Champions League teams, they're ready, they did well last season and they haven't really changed much, whereas obviously we've changed a lot. So there are going to be moments in there. Potentially we'll lose those games, potentially we won't, who knows. So I think that win's important, because if we're going to lose a couple now against good teams, I just don't want the whole atmosphere to just go. Obviously if we don't get battered, like 4-0 or something, then that is a problem. But if we lose to Arsenal, I don't know, 2-1 and play quite well, but they're just a little bit ahead of us at the moment. I don't want us to kind of lose our minds, which obviously is going to happen. Cause
well, the big thing on that, and obviously you've put this in the show notes as well, you were talking about how, or in the show notes you're saying that we showed serious resilience.
Yeah, well that was I think Tobe said it as well. I mean, I've been worried about it all season, and that's part of the young thing. You talk about leadership a lot. I think there are leaders growing in that team, you know, Colwell, Enzo to a degree, and others kind of, obviously Thiago Silva's there and it's showing a bit.
Sanchez is calmness is big.
It's nice to see. But yeah, I think obviously going a goal down, we haven't been very good at coming back from that. We did it against Liverpool. But to actually not only pretty quickly find a goal, you know, in the first half, not kind of let it drag and get to the 60th minute and it all gets a bit panicky, which is going to happen when you've got a young team. But we found a way. And then, you know, once it got to 2-1, early in the second half, it kind of felt like it was only going to go one way, and we just kept scoring. And you know, I think we probably could have scored a few more if we wanted to.
Yeah.
But you know, 4-1 away is a great result, and
Which is it. And I think with that resilience as well, you talked about this running games that we've got coming up. I'm still not expecting anything from it, I'll be honest. It's going to be tough. I think, you know, I'm probably not expecting wins. I'm expecting a few draws, which would be okay, I guess, right now. But like this season for me is very much taking each game as it comes until you like so we see that consistency and see that team gelled. But that's not going to happen this year. So that's Keska, right? Just see what happens, see how we progress. But this run of fixtures coming up is going to prove to be extremely difficult, and it's going to be a real test of character. A young squad still, you know, but like you said, the leaders are maturing and developing. I think in January, you know, we've got them come back, but this might be where you look at it and go, do you know what, as much as Breuer and Jackson are a very good problem to have, if Ivan Toney's available on the market, I'd be going, do you know what, there's a certain level of seniority, a certain level of quality there, yeah, which, and a certain level of arrogance, which I think this team still lacks. There's a lot of flair, a lot of quality, but there's, I think that I'd like to see someone as who's arrogant when they step up, you see him and they go, yeah.
He's also he's a very, very good player. Like, he scored 20 goals for Brentford.
Yeah, well, 10 were penalties.
When he was banned for the last four or five games as well. So I think I wanted him before the ban. He was the one I wanted. Like, yeah, if I could have only signed one player last summer, it would have been him.
Yeah.
So I'd absolutely love him. I obviously think long term anyway, Jackson or Bray, only one of them is going to make it at Chelsea realistically. Yeah. And you know they've got sort of another 4 or 5 months to put their case forward and see. But you know we trusted Jackson in the summer, based on his preseason, not to go and sign someone a bit more established. And I think that's good. I think he'll get some good game time. We'll get to see what he's all about really, like a little bit longer. But yeah, absolutely. If Toney is available for the right price, yeah, and he wants to come to us rather than you know other London clubs, then that would be great. But in terms of the actual run, we keep to mentioning the run without actually saying what the games are. So see Arsenal's next on the 21st at the Bridge, then Brentford at home in the 12:30, then Spurs away.
The early kickoff.
Yeah.
Oh dear.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Spurs got through yesterday, all right, even with a red card, so it can happen. Anyway, yeah. So Brentford on the early kickoff, Spurs on a Monday night away, City at home.
It's a write off. That one's done.
Newcastle away.
Write off.
After another international break. Well, that's only international break. Anyway, then Brighton at home and then United away. And then we're into December. At the 9th of December, we have Everton away, which isn't great either. And then 16th of December, Sheffield United at home. So it's a difficult run of games, but then that's the Premier League, isn't it?
That's exactly it. And then you've got to show up and do that. And, you know, we'll get there. I think, you know, potentially have a settled team until then.
Yeah.
Touch wood. Let me find some wood to touch. Touch wood. We don't have any injuries. But, you know, look, over... Yeah, there's wood on the floor, isn't there? I should have just done that. Wood.
I didn't even do that.
Can I just say there is fucking wood everywhere and I just struggled to find some. It was a long
it's
Saturday.
Also all the hangers.
Oh, for fuck's sake. anyway. But, yeah, you know, it's touch wood. We do all right. Develop, continue.
Mm.
I do think when all these players come back as well, you know, Ben Chilwell is going to struggle to get in this side unless... This will be when, as you saw with the Brighton game, maybe it'll be okay. Thiago, slowly phase you out. He might end up even going in January, you know.
Well, there were rumours in the summer, wasn't there, that he wanted maybe go to Brazil for a year.
Yeah.
I think he was kind of keen to stay if they wanted him and keen to go if they didn't. He was like, whatever, I don't really mind. I don't think even he at, nearly 40, when he signed for us at 36, I don't think he thought he'd still be here now.
No, I think we all thought 2 years done.
I thought we'd have a year, to be honest. Yeah. I thought, and obviously we won the Champions League that year, but I didn't think we'd have him for any longer. Then I think, you know, he has that. He's like, oh, I can't go now. Yeah. And then obviously he was still very, very good. He still is good, but you're starting to see, you know, his pace has dropped off a lot. He's a little bit slower to react to things. And when you've got good young defenders who've proven themselves.
Paddy Ashill, I think that's what I'm looking at now going, do you know what it'll be? I reckon you'll see Paddy Ashill, Disasi, as you said about which pairing, and Colwell on the left.
They played, presumably they played together at Monaco as well.
Must have done.
So, you know, there's a bit of a chemistry there. Obviously, they're both French. So
Parlez-vous français and that's what they'll be doing. Do you remember in lockdown, our first game, we had Aspilicueta, Mendy, Thiago Silva, and and Zuma. Yeah, that's right.
Kurt
Zuma. And then you just had, you know, Ben Chilwell tapping into his... you know.
All right, guys.
Yeah, your daughter.
She's more important. All right, guys. You pass your ball a bit, yeah? Even though he actually doesn't sound like that at
Mate,
all.
He's a Milton Keynes boy. He is. He's a...
I resisted the temptation because Toby's in here, so it wouldn't be funny.
It's not funny anyway anymore. so, you know, overall, you know, I think that, you know, we might see that. But it'll be interesting to see how everything develops now. But like Toby said as well, the Rudy-esque character of disaster. We were saying that a few weeks ago, you know, when he was saying and moaning about the front line being, boys, you need to be killers.
But that,
you
that's, need to step up. That's another thing that, you know, when you were saying about this young squad and you're worried about leadership, there are players in there who have led youth teams and things like that. They are natural leaders. And now they're obviously on the big stage with other people with basically all their age. So it's just going to come out.
So it's with Connor as well, that I think when he got given the armband at Bournemouth, we were all still a bit sceptical about that. But when he was like, yeah, you know, like, don't really see myself as a captain, but you're like, but you're the captain at youth level. It's like, you know, there's still, like I said, a player that leads by example.
That's an ego thing as well, to be honest. He's just like, I'm just one of the team.
He just loves the Chelsea.
Yeah, he loves Chelsea. He loves playing football, and he's having a good time at the moment. He's playing well.
I mean, I wouldn't even say he's a Labrador at this point. Like, what's just like a really just nice dog, which just like, I don't know, like not even a sausage dog, because they can be little moody bastards. Probably, you know what, he probably is just like, we'll figure it out.
Or like a retriever, golden, because he's got the longer.
Yeah, that's hair. It. Aren't retrievers Labradors?
No.
Are they not?
Golden retrievers are slightly different.
Really?
Well, they've got longer hair, haven't they?
Yeah, but I thought, isn't there not still a breed of Labrador? Is it, they're completely different?
I think so. I think, well, they're obviously in the same kind of family of dogs, but I think they're a different breed technically. They're not Labrador retrievers. The Labrador retriever is a Labrador. A golden retriever is a different.
Sorry, my mind's just been blown.
I'm pretty sure I'm right on that. That they are.
I didn't know that. I always thought golden retriever was just another name for a Labrador.
No, that's definitely not true. They are definitely different dogs.
Madness.
Golden retrievers have long hair, and the Labradors have a shorter hair. And Labradors are not just.
He's a golden retriever.
Golden retriever, yeah, because he's got the long hair.
Yeah, there you go. How's your hair going, by the way?
Yeah, it's fine. Okay. I've got a hat on because I didn't put any gel in it this morning. Yeah, not because I don't like it. It's the back starting to get a bit long. I think I need to go. But that, I have to grow it out.
You have to, mate. You're in that in between stage now. You just got to keep going. Yeah. You have to keep going. Now. Quite,
every time I put a hat on, I feel this. I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, no, it's horrible. Because I thought about growing out after we spoke about it.
My mate's just shaved it all off and it looks quite good. But I'm not going to do that yet. I'm going to grow it out and then I might do that.
Can you let me do it?
If you want.
Yeah, I'll do it. I'll give you like high skin fade.
Because I did it before myself, well, in lockdown, and it just didn't look great. But yeah. Doing it,
I mean, I think the longer hair suits you, but. When you put less gel in, mate, it might do you a favour. But anyway, we'll move swiftly on, have a little look. I think the one thing we haven't spoken about, which is probably the last thing we're going to touch on, like we've spoken about Enzo and Caicedo, we've spoken about, you know, the squad coming together, Gallagher, Sterling. Cole Palmer is the one we have not touched on.
Best to last.
Again, you know, continuous form. Got a goal, penalty regardless, you know, he showed what he was capable of, competently put it away, like I said, right at the top of the show. Look, for me, a fantastic performance. Again, a young guy which is maturing. Toby's mentioned the scenes, obviously, in the away end when he scored. There's a gif of him. Look, players tapping the Chelsea badge and all that, it doesn't mean anything to me anymore. I'm dead to that, and I have been for quite a significant period. You know, he seems settled now. He's stepping up to the mark. Fair play to him. That's all I can say about that.
I said it the other day when we did the preview that he was my best signing, but that was kind of, I want to say something different. I don't know if I actually believe that, but it was such a random signing. No one knew anything about it. We'd like obviously spoken about a few players we wanted to sign. There was that kind of rumour of Smith Rowe or whatever. Then kind of Palmer was like, just came in and then we just did it, bought him. For what, 40 plus 5?
Yeah.
Which at the time I was like, I think that's quite a clever sign. Like, he's a good player. He's scored some goals in some big games for City. Assuming he's going to play more with us, and now he's kind of made himself undroppable currently, really. Which is a, you know, very sneaky signing, and I like it.
I mean, yeah, when I spoke to a City fan about it, shout out George Clayton, what a man. George was sort of saying to me, he went, oh, yeah, cheers for 40 million, mate. I'm like, okay, right, that's making me worry a little bit, but
they would say that.
Yeah, I mean, you would if someone gave you 40 million just for straight cash for a youth player.
I mean, he's essentially a quite similar profile to Foden. There's not really any point in having both of them when they've obviously already got all their other superstars. Yeah. So if you got 40 million for that, you would, like, we would have done it for a lot of players. We have done it for a lot of players. Like,
we did for Mason Mount.
Hall, for example. Yeah, but Mount was different because he turned out to be something that I won't say. The one thing that did make me laugh, though, about the Palmer penalty is how we kind of all were like, oh yeah, he scored a goal, penalty, nice. And then when Havertz scored a pen the week before, we were like, oh, a pity goal, pity goal.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's like, for me, I wasn't, Havertz is a pity goal. Yeah. I'm looking, look, Cole Palmer, it's like, that's why I said 2-1. Like, I say 2-1. Obviously, I know he won the game 4-1. We always say the only stat that matters is the one on the top left of the fucking screen when you're watching it, and that's true. But, you know, that is, for him, it's like, okay, cool, off the mark, fantastic. Mm. I'm not looking at anything else. I'm not in the stands at Bournemouth away singing a song about 60 million down the drain, Kai Havertz scores again when he scored his first goal. They know maths.
Let's not. I don't want to talk about Arsenal.
No. And
I did bring that up. But it's just, the thing that made me think about it was, like, obviously Havertz was a pity goal. He's not their penalty taker. Is Palmer going to be our penalty taker, like, realistically, until...
I can see him being our penalty taker.
Until Nkunku or... maybe Tony.
Can I? I'm about to say something very controversial here. Right now, Nkunku doesn't get in the team. I'm looking. If I'm a coach right now, I'm like, mate, like, you've just come back from an ACL. You've got to work.
Yeah, he's obviously got to work, and he won't be rushed back, which is nice, because when you get a player of that profile, you're like, he's straight back in, which is what we've always done with Reece, which is why he's always injured. Now we don't have to do that with Malo, and obviously Kukure is a pretty competent third choice right back, which is nice to have, and I'm sure there are some kids in our talented La Cobham. So, he won't be rushed back, but I think definitely he's a very, very good player. And I think he'll definitely end up being in that team.
Mm.
Maybe playing ahead of, like, a Palmer and sort of like a false nine kind of thing for a bit. I don't know.
I feel like that's when I worry about us shoehorning players in. I think realistically, like, I'm looking at that guy, and if he goes anywhere, he's got to go behind the striker.
Yeah, that's where he's best. Like I said,
we're talking about signing players that quality. We don't want to do what Chelsea have done for the past 15 years, which is, let's get a player shoehorning in. Yeah. As, again, Frank Lampard said... Havertz, Ziyech, Werner as well. Yep. Like, that Werner wasn't a Lampard signing. Werner was like, he's great. You can have him, Frank. And he's gone, right, okay. How am I going to make this work then? You know, that's they're quality players. I think Werner's the best example. Especially, it's another... I mean, Nkunku replaced him at Leipzig. You know, you got a player there who was looking at getting in behind, sharpish, playing in transition.
Yep.
And the problem with how Chelsea played for the past 4 or 5 years is tap. Werner's in this Chelsea team now, I think he scores a fair amount of goals, especially if he was signed this summer.
Yeah,
like with the confidence of the player that was there. I think UT a fantastic player, and we talk about him being offside. The only reason he was always offside is because we always needed to make that extra pass rather than just put the ball over the top, which we've started doing. We've just started moving the ball.
Well, I think that comes obviously from having some very good passes in the team that we probably didn't have when Werner was there. Obviously,
we did though. He was a sideways central, but now Jorginho wasn't a bad pass the ball.
Never really
Mount wasn't
those...
a bad pass the ball. Reece James was a good passer of the ball. Ziyech is a good passer of the ball.
Ziyech barely played, and when he did, he sort of moped around. Jorginho, sideways merchant, very rarely. I mean, he did for that Watford goal for the Tammy, wasn't it? That was a brilliant ball, but he didn't do that enough. And I don't know if that's what he was told to do, or whether he's just very conservative and likes to just keep it ticking over. Reece James, yes, but again, injured all the time. And then Mount, but at times quite inconsistent. And he had that one season where he was amazing. But this now with Enzo, with Cole at left back, his passing's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously, you know, your kind of Cole Palmer, Sterling. Like, there's genuine threat from kind of all sorts of, like, we can do it all. Long balls over the top if you need to. Like, little intricate passing in the midfield. We've got it all at the moment, which is nice. But, you know, let's be real that it's great. We've got a couple of wins. It's nice. You know, we're back to kind of being where we should probably be. We didn't start brilliantly. We had some games in there. We'll look back on and think we really should have won some of those games. But now the real test starts. As I said, you know, the run of games we said earlier on, you know, you're playing an Arsenal team who are the best they've been in a long, long, long time, at least 10 years. Mm. And they're very confident, and they'll come to us and think, yeah, we can beat these guys, even with potential injuries that they've got. And then, you know, Brentford are a good team. And then you've got your City. Spurs are flying at the moment.
That's going to be the interesting one. I do think, I can see us beating that Spurs team. I really can. And I think the difference in that game is Pochettino is going to have the bit between his teeth as well. That's
Monday night.
That Monday night under the lights. I tell you what, it's a nightmare to go to, but I'm still going to try and get a ticket.
Monday night, Spurs, the way they're playing at the moment. But then the way we're playing. I think they Ange's not going to sort of become very conservative for that game. They'll go for it, and that means we'll go for it, yeah. Which means it will be probably quite a good game. Their big game so far, obviously the United game was a great game.
Yeah,
the Liverpool game had a lot of controversy to it, but I quite enjoyed the game. It was quite open, even when Liverpool went down to 9. And Arsenal was a great game. That was one of my favourite games of the season that wasn't Chelsea. So they'll be... they're a good team to watch, to be fair, Spurs. Not less so yesterday, but that was the red. But yeah, I think that'll be a good one. And obviously, you know, Newcastle always tough. As PSG found in the week, City difficult. But as we said, it's the Premier League. You've got to play these teams, and ours just happened to come in one long run. Got to get through some of those games. If we play well, play nice football, maybe we can go over to our friend Mr. Ibet, Ivan Tony, and say, hey, kind of need a number 9, a more established one. I'll fancy it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you know, I can see Arsenal or even Spurs going, yeah, look, we're ready now. And he's like, yeah.
I mean, I think, obviously, we'll touch on it briefly because this is a review and we are over our, or hitting our time period, which we normally do. But I do want to just briefly look at January, very briefly, because we've mentioned Ivan Tony. We've also got a lot of players coming back. But is there anything else or anywhere else in that team you look at and go, maybe I want to pick someone up there? Because I'm looking at it now, I'm thinking, left back, you've got Mattson, you've got Chilwell, you've got Colwill, you've got Cucurella.
Yep.
Right back, you've got Gusto, you've got James, you've got Cucurella. Centre halves, you've got De Zassi, you've got Badiashile, you've got
Thiago.
Colwill. Yeah, and Colwill obviously going there. Goalkeeper, maybe?
Yeah, maybe. I like Sanchez.
I like Sanchez, but I don't think Petrovic, he's not going to get any minutes. Yeah. He's gone alone, really, clearly.
Probably, yeah. But then Bettinelli's fine as a second. The thing is, I guess it depends what we're in still. If we're still in cups, obviously we won't have properly played the FA Cup yet. Actually, we might, because we'll be second round this year, won't we?
No, I think we're still... Premier League comes in third round still.
Is it all Premier League? I thought it was only the top 12 or something.
Premier League's third round, I believe.
Okay. Well, maybe it's League Cup.
We were top 12 last year. Come on.
True. I don't know. Anyway, I'm going to ignore that celebration. Anyway, we won't know. I guess League Cup will be in the latter stages anyway by then. So I guess we probably won't need a keeper really for the season. It's just whether we can, this guy's available now, fine. And whether it's a top keeper or whether it's someone to cover Sanchez.
Yeah.
I don't know. But no, I don't think so. I mean, we say that like, squad's finally ready, but we have spent £1 billion. Let's not forget about that. So we should not need anyone else. And we still do want, you know, Tony established number 9, who hopefully won't wear 9 for obvious reasons. That number is cursed. I don't think we need anything, really. Hopefully I'll be the same and there won't be any bad injury that we need to replace.
Imagine this ownership having a quiet January.
Oh, I'm sure it won't be quiet. There'll be rumour central.
We're going to pick... What's going to happen is we're talking about first team. We're just going to pick up 17 Brazilian wonder kids.
Vasco da Gama are about to get ransacked of every single player who's ever played football for them.
And then we're going to probably just buy another 3 clubs.
Yeah. Yeah. Vasco da Gama, we're actually going to buy you now. We bought all your team and we're actually going to buy you and loan them all back. And
we'll have to see. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, that's it.
Positive. Chelsea Echo. Positive vibes only today.
Yeah, it's not bad. Chelsea Echo done for another international break. We obviously had the barbecue episode, which hadn't come out. That's because the wonderful Stuart, who was doing our filming that day, he's going to have a little stab at piecing together our greatest Chelsea 11's draft.
Yeah, we did a draft, which is why there are some interesting picks in there.
Yeah, so even then, you know, there's some other things they'll have to figure out. But I mean, you're away, aren't you? During the
I am. Break? Yes, I'm back to my homeland.
France. Back to your homeland, France. What, Richmond?
See, it's fun. You just joke.
It's not fun. I'm only dishing it out now because now you know how it feels.
No, just a joke, mate. I can take it. I don't care.
It's this. Shut up.
Yes, I'm away, but I'll be here for the preview of the Arsenal game. Good. And then I go. Oh. And obviously, I don't know what we're planning on doing next week, but We'll have to reveal at some point our spoilers, predictions, things.
We will. We will. Would that, is it this month that we're ending it? We didn't even pick a... We're running into October, aren't we? Oh, wait, it is October.
It is October. I think we've still got...
We run it
the rest, the rest of the month. There's still, yeah, what, two more game weeks?
Two more game weeks, and then we still haven't picked out what the...
Forfeit is.
Yeah, and Tobes needs to do his...
Power Ranger.
Have you noticed how he's been very quiet about that? Because he knows full well that he thinks we're going to forget.
Yeah, I mean, we're not.
It needs to happen before the next forfeit.
Yeah, or maybe if, you know, at the moment it looks like it might be him again, so he can upgrade his forfeit, make it bad, worse. I don't know.
No. If he's upgraded his forfeit, I'm picking it and I'm going vicious.
There you go.
We'll have to see what happens. But yeah, guys, this has been the Chelsea Echo. Hopefully you've been enjoying the show. Episode number...
The numbers don't make sense to me because some of them weren't numbered.
Hang on, let me just check. That was...
I think it's 16, but I think
episode
we've done more than that.
16, but we might be like... Hang on. Technically, it's episode 17.
Because of the pilot one.
It's episode 18 because of the pilot one then. Because obviously we had the Bournemouth one that went walkabout.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so there are...
There is... stuff. I like the way you've done. You're just not sure. You just looked at it and gone, is it this one? Is it that number?
Oh, I've just carried on from what it was the week before, which was almost certainly me.
Yeah.
I mean, the numbers are not that important, so I just kind of go with it. But
yeah, we'll have to see. But yeah, that's that. It's been great. Well, guys, hope you've enjoyed it. Make sure you do give us a 5-star review. We really appreciate it. Anyone who's listening, always give us those reviews. It really, really helps us. To those of you in Australia, where apparently we are top 100 sports podcasts.
Good day.
To anyone else who's not from Australia, hello. Bienvenue del podcast. I've seen mixed French and Spanish then, because could have French and Spanish listeners. Which is extremely unlikely.
Might have to translate it for them if we do, but
that'd be long. Can we? I'm not gonna lie. Like, you know, I appreciate them listening, but why don't they just learn English? You know, sort of just learn it. Use us to learn the English. It's
Brexit possible.
I mean, I don't mean it like that.
Why don't you learn English?
No, sure. I'm all that we speak one language, and I can't even barely speak my own. Know what I mean? It's the guys that speak multiple languages doing a podcast, and you know, me and you are sat here and just like, yeah, we're gonna do it in English.
You do it. You speak to me in Italian. I reply in Spanish. It wouldn't really work.
I mean, it kind of would. Both Latin, that's boring conversation for me and you.
Yeah, this is not probably won't make the cut. But
no, exactly. I mean, it is going to make the cut. We'll put it in. It's the end of the podcast. But guys, this has been a Highway 61 production, part of the Highway 61 network. This has been the Chelsea Echo. You've been fantastic. Tom's been all right. Tobes ain't here. I've been great. We'll see you later. Ta-da.
Bye.